Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming up on TMS, you'll get no TMS Monday, no TMS Tuesday, no TMS Wednesday, and no Lieutenant Yar!
Can't tell soft from hard.
My butt just had a rapid unscheduled pressure event.
I don't like soft G's.
The old team entrance hole.
Depodcastinization.
Don't watch Alan coming.
Lifting gum off the floor.
Hello? Is this your phone you're looking for?
The vegan Glaswegian.
Let's just say it's mayonnaise.
Lord of the Rings style lightsaber.
661 pounds of fruit roll-ups.
Punish 3D prints with Bill.
The Who Chief with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
And speaking of rude, there's flaming.
Flaming. Unusually pointless and excessive outrage in electronic mail has become so common that it's now got its own name. Flaming. If you receive an angry message, you've been flamed.
Poop, poop, Purdue.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream, and we're gonna need a bigger boat.
The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's the morning stream for Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbin. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to just do a quick advertisement for our pre-show.
Okay.
Today was really great. We learned some things about how hockey and basketball work together. We learned about how parrots can't have Teflon in the house. Didn't know about
that. That's right. Yep.
And how the stratosphere looks like the Clue candlestick.
That's right, exactly.
Listen, if you're not a patron or a live listener, you'll never know this unless
you'll never
join
know
up.
What any of those things mean. Yeah, it was a particular, and you'll hear a little bit of Running Scared, Brian's impersonation of Billy Crystal's character from Running Scared.
That's right. The perfect meal, topped off with the perfect dessert. So sign up and get in.
Ooh,
there. Okay.
Dessert, blueberry pie, yummy.
So all right. It's been a day. I couldn't sleep. Aww. I don't know what my deal is. I think I'm stressed because I got a lot to get done this week. We've had very little time since we got home from Vegas to kind of catch up, and I'm immediately going back to Vegas on not immediately, but I'm going back on Saturday after FilmSack, and it just feels like there's not enough time between this and that for me to do it all.
Sure.
So I think it's like keeping me up a little bit. I'm not sleeping great. It's just a little frustrating. Trying to keep it all in motion, and anyway, the reason I'm bringing that up is just to vent, but also to say I know there are way worse things out there in the world. Certainly, we've had our share of those this week in America. Don't want to get into details, but
no
some
kidding,
gnarly bullshit going down.
Poor Scott, getting ready for vacation.
Oh no! I might get to go spend time with tiny children and my wife and.
Aww.
And my daughter and her husband. What a shame it is.
You going to see Shoujo and the Jen and everybody, Katrina, while you're out there?
I don't know about everybody, but some, perhaps. The mm-hmm. real trick is, so the timeshare that we're staying in is out near the airport-ish.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's not, for some reason I thought it was just slightly off-strip. But
well,
no, it's,
there's two of them, and the one off-strip is on Flamingo, but that is all shut down right now.
Gotcha.
What are they doing? Is that for the stadium or something? All that shut down for? I don't know why.
Oh, I have no idea. Oh, no. Well, as you say, it might be because of the race, but the race isn't until November.
Oh, yeah. I would not come near this place.
It wouldn't be this. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Stay away from Vegas for the race.
Jeez, yeah.
But, yeah, it's... So anyway, my point is we're going to be spending, Kim and I, our job on this trip, not our job, but, but what we're planning on is we're going to be with the kids a ton while Dylan and Taylor get to finally see Vegas for real. Cause
this
is
kind of like, is it a Mother's Day? It's like a Mother's Day thing, right? For Taylor, the mother, getting to go and have some fun without having to worry about the kids.
Exactly. And even though Kim's a mother, she loves doing this, so it's not hard. It's not work for her.
This is as much a Mother's Day gift for Kim as it is for Taylor.
Yeah. So I don't know how much like fun, like Vegas fun Kim and I are going to have, but we'll see when we get out there. It's hard to say. I do know this, though. You know, having Dylan only ever being there for a couple of soccer games in college, in high school, he was in the soccer team. His knees are destroyed. That's his proof. He has bad knees now. And Taylor's only been there for various bits with us. This is like a real, you know, moment for them to just have a good time. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
I'm just stressed because I feel like I got a lot going on. And a lot of it I can do from there. I can do remote.
Sure.
Work on, but you know, I can't.
Oh, but apparently not podcasting.
Nope.
Scott. Apparently not.
Can't record no podcasts in the mornings. Sorry, everybody.
Oh.
Although there won't be. We're going to push stuff around so that Play Retro Core and, well, I'll be home before Core. So really, it only affects Play Retro and DTNS and then TMS,
of course.
Yeah. So I tried to wiggle in the days where it...
Yeah, it's like the easiest... It is kind of the easiest days, right? Like right after Film Sac, then you've got the rest of Saturday, all of Sunday, Monday, and you know, you get to Wednesday, and really all that it's affected is Play Retro and Film Sac TMS.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. I'm kind of excited, but...
fine.
A little
fine.
Stressed. Hey, you're going back soon, right? Pretty soon.
I am. Not till June, but mid-June, go out there for Elvis Costello.
Oh,
and
right.
Nick Lowe. Nick Lowe opening for Elvis Costello. It's going to be a great show.
You wouldn't miss that.
I wouldn't miss it when the real Chris Brown buys me a concert ticket. Twitter handle the real Chris Brown.
That's right. So that'll be good. But Brian, so yeah, if you want to know what month looks crazy, Brian's June looks pretty crazy.
My June is insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Family reunion, Elvis Costello, and then the MS-150 all like 3 weekends in a row, basically. And we're going to, you know, going to muddle through. We're going to push it, push that month to its extremes.
You ready for that ride? You feeling good about that?
Nope. Not yet, I'm not, but I still have a month and a half to get ready.
So, you know, a lot can happen in 30, 45 days, you know?
Yeah. I had a PT appointment yesterday, and she gave me a new stretching exercise that is the worst. I mean, basically sitting back up against a wall, you know, feet on the butt on the ground, and then lifting, like flexing my right leg, like tensing it up, and then lifting it straight up. And it's harder to do when you can't move your back at all. Your back is flat against a wall. You are sitting like a right angle against a wall, and you're trying to lift that leg. And I have to do 90 of those. 90, Scott.
I'm sorry, 90?
90 reps, the middle 30 reps with weight on my leg, like with added weight on my leg. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You sure PT doesn't stand for, I don't know.
Something torture.
Something torture,
Plenty
yeah.
of torture.
Pointless
torture.
Pointless torture. Sounds hard, man. That's a lot.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's is no no bueno, as my physical therapist would say. I don't know why she always says it, but she says no bueno.
Wow.
But
okay.
Yeah, it's to work so your quad, you know, your group of four muscles in your leg, your upper leg. There are three muscles that do a lot of the work, and then there's that one little muscle that does a little bit of work. They kind of work together to keep your kneecap in place when you're bending your knee and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's that one little muscle that's not part of the big three that needs to get worked, and that's the way to work it.
Well, maybe you could get like a full on Popeye going with that thing, and that muscle will just be like a big old bulge.
It'll just be, like bulging out of my leg while the other three are like,
This is a thing I would like to see.
Sure. Okay.
Well, anyway, a busy month coming up, everybody. But my June's wide open, by the way. Wide open. Nothing going on. July, August near. But July or June.
That, the only TMS that'll get affected, I think, is Thursday the 8th. There's a couple couch parties that I might have to do remotely, but it's way more of an impact on FilmSac than it is on TMS.
Yeah, FilmSac we do on weekends. It's kind of hard.
Yeah,
when the weekend's affected, so we're gonna figure something out.
We have plans in place for stuff.
So. Yeah, we're gonna try to figure it out. We don't like to miss, is our thing. So.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, let us now. Oh, I'm gonna play some phone calls.
Yeah, let's hear some phone calls.
When these come in, it's just they feel like a priority. So I want to play these. This is one from somebody talking about those thermal. Well, he's talking about thermal events, but it was in reference to the SpaceX rocket exploding.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And yeah, remember that term they used? What was the term?
It was a conscious uncoupling. No, that was Gwyneth and Chris Martin.
Right.
That was a unplanned disassembly. No, it was something like that, though.
Wasn't that it? I think that was it. Unplanned catastrophic disassembly or something?
Something. I thought
Damn it. Rapid
unplanned disassembly? Was that really it?
I think that was it. Rapid unscheduled. I think it was unscheduled.
Unscheduled. A rapid unscheduled disassembly.
Which is even even weirder. That's
great. What a great euphemism.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So, as a fun little thing, we got a call about it. Let's check it out.
Okay. Hey, Scott and Brian. Zinger in Wisconsin here. I'm getting caught up. I'm way behind. But a couple Thursdays ago, you guys were talking about SpaceX's rapid unscheduled disassembly. I just want to let you guys know I worked in the industrial world for a while, and whenever we had a fire, it was not called a fire, it was a thermal event. And if there was an explosion, oh no, you cannot use the word explosion. You use the word thermal pressure event. Have a great day.
Wow. Thermal events and thermal pressure events.
I love it.
I actually kind of like that too. I think it's funny.
So here's what I'd like to propose then, because our chat room, the genius Rickles level comedians that they are, always coming up with pod fading whenever we talk about missing a show.
Sure.
All right, you clever individuals, you Norm McDonalds of the chat room world,
yeah.
See if you can come up for a euphemism for pod fading that is not pod fading. So, you know, a rapid, unscheduled, depodcastinization or something like
something in that vein. We would love a new term for that. That's an amazing thing.
Flex your comedic muscle for something better, betterment of mankind.
We've been holding on to that pod fade term since like 06.
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
So it's time for something new.
It's time to retire pod fading.
Pod fading, it's stupid. Rapidly, look at some of these. Pod fighting, rapidly unscheduled career dissolution. That's pretty good.
That's right.
Failure to communicate. Sudden unscheduled host flex time
is really good too.
Tide pod eating. Claire, I don't know about that one.
Oh, Claire. Oh, yeah. Claire, I got to tell you, by the way. We're in what season? You told me you're downloading some Taskmaster 2 or queuing up. I'm sorry. Your finger's hovering over the play button on yet another recommendation.
As soon as Picard season 3 is over for me, I'm going to do some Taskmasters. That's the
plan. Oh, good. Okay. There is a woman in the current season we're watching, and I think we're in the middle of season 13.
Hmm.
Her name is Fern Brady, and I'm enamored with her. I don't know what it is about...
Brian, frickin', got a new TV crush.
Fern Brady.
Yeah.
But there's suddenly like she walks in. I think she's either she has a really, really thick accent, and then her Wikipedia page says that I think she was born in Ireland, but that she grew up in Scotland or grew up in the UK. I can't remember. She's Scottish. Yeah. She walks in to any task and goes, "Oh no." She's this cute little adorable thing. And she goes in, "Oh no."
That's great. She's like a Warcraft dwarf walking into a hard quest. God. That's amazing.
She's got autism, and she like uses her platform as a comedian to educate people about autism and stuff like that. She is fantastic. I love watching her reactions to everything.
So Claire says I don't think she's Glaswegian. Is that how you say it? Like someone from Glasgow?
Yeah, from Glasgow. Yeah, Glaswegian.
I've never heard Glaswegian. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for a Scottish accent of any sort, and pretty much will have a crush on you. It doesn't even matter what sex you are. I don't care your proclivities. You got a Scottish accent. I'm freaking into you hardcore. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
Her, Shirley Manson from Garbage. I could listen to Shirley Manson talk all day long.
Yeah.
Love her. Yeah. Love her accent. But yeah, I mean, if you end up watching whatever season of Taskmaster she's in, you're just going to basically... you're going to adore Fern Brady like I adore Fern Brady.
I will
Brady.
Watch for it. So how many how many seasons are there, and should I start at the beginning?
They're about to launch into the 15th season.
Oh!
I would say, yeah, there's a lot of seasons.
What?
Yeah, yeah. here's a couple seasons you need to watch. The one with Noel Fielding, hands down. Actually, there are two with Noel Fielding because... he appears in two seasons.
Did he host? That was what he was.
No, no. Host is always Greg Davies and Alex Horn. Alex Horn.
Oh, little Alex Horn. Okay.
Little Alex Horn.
Yeah.
Who's not little? He's like extremely tall, and he is the brains behind Taskmaster. He writes all the tasks, but he also appears as the lackey to Greg Davies, even though he's kind of like the joke is that he's really the Taskmaster.
Okay.
Claire sent us something in our DMs,
by the way. I'm afraid. Some Scottish bullshit or something.
Is she going to yell at us for our pronunciation of Glaswegian?
Oh, here it is. I'll play it.
Glaswegian. Ouija-ji-ji-jin. Like Ouija board. Ouija-jin.
That's a soft G, Claire, not a hard G. She's yelling at us in the chat. It's a hard G.
It's a hard, yeah, that's a... Hold on, let me play that's it again.
Glaswegian.
So Ouija-jin is a hard G.
Ouija-jin is a soft G.
Or a soft G,
Yeah. Glaswegian would be a hard G.
Yeah, so, you have it backwards. You have it backwards.
Claire apparently can't tell soft from hard. let that be known to all of you out there that...
Nice.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So watch the one with Noel Fielding. That's like season two. I think you can start with season two and just make your way through. It's okay. so good.
All right. Yeah. I'm kind of into it. I saw something yesterday. What did I see?
I'll tell you this. The tough seasons are the ones with where during COVID they didn't have an audience.
Yeah.
And it's just... the five contestants and the two hosts sitting on a stage with some very little audience piped in, or not piped in audience noise, but after they taped the show, they then showed it to an audience and then they recorded the audience's laughter, but then they added it back to the show. It still feels really weird. It doesn't feel right.
Mm. Yeah. But they don't, it's gone now, right? They're not doing that now. Over.
No, they're back to having an audience.
Yeah, that's good.
Season 14 is TV's Travis. He's saying, Dara O'Brien. It's Dara O'Brien, but it's spelled B-R-I-A-I-N, I think. Mm. And it's pronounced, and he is Irish, right? Dara O'Brien?
I don't know.
I think is right? Anyway, he's great too. It's a really good Munya Chihuahua. And yes, that's the guy's real name, Munya Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is Irish, Dara O'Brien. Anyway, it's really, really good.
So, for those asking where you can get it, Pluto has six seasons, which is where I'm going to start it, because they're free. And then after that, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft.
Yeah,
Google.
I pay. I it is the one thing that I happily pay for on Apple is buying seasons of Taskmaster.
Yeah, and they do. I thought BritBox had it. I don't see it here now. I thought BritBox had it. They don't have it. So don't look at BritBox, everybody. I thought they did. They don't. And maybe you have a complex friend that can help you.
It's probably a very complex way.
Yeah. There might be a complex way.
Sarah Milligan.
To do it.
It's a really good season. John, what's his face, is funny. The current season, season four, not current, but the season I'm watching, season 14, is really, really good.
Nice.
Anyway,
I'm now going to play this call. This is from Ian. Okay. I am Sci-Fi, and it's something for Brian. All right?
Oh, good. Okay.
So enjoy this. Let's see what we got.
Hey, Scott and Brian. It's Ian. I am Sci-Fi. If I can't get Discord to work, I may as well at least leave a voicemail. Brian, I don't know if you've checked out Schmigadoon at all. I forget whether or not it's been one of your recommendals over the past couple of months or year or whatever, but season two just started up and it's called Schmicago and it is absolutely amazing. The theater part of it has just been ramped up to 11 this time around, and they've got parodies of Company, Chicago, Sweeney Todd thrown in there for good measure. So if you have not checked it out, please make sure to do so, and I'm sure you will very much enjoy it. Love the hobo. Cool. Talk to you guys soon.
Tell me what Schmicago is and Schmigadoon and all that.
Schmigadoon. So this is a series with Keegan-Michael Key and Cicely Strong from SNL as a couple... Right. We've only watched season one, and it was a couple of years ago when it first came out. And I want to say that this was actually Nicole recommendal, but Tina and I watched it as well and really loved it. But they find this town called Schmigadoon. They're hiking. They're kind of in the on the outs, this couple. And they stumble upon this town called Schmigadoon, where everything is a musical, where basically they've walked into a 1940s Hollywood, I'm carrying lumber to the shop, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And, you know, basically everybody, you know, every song is a musical, and everybody communicates that way.
Okay.
And it was hilarious because, you know, they're like... experiencing this as like, all right, well, why are you guys singing? Well, no, what? Okay, do I need to sing along? Is that what you're expecting? And anyway, first season was great. Second season, I know, just came out. We have not started watching it yet, but the cast list, the people they've added to this thing for season two, looks amazing. So yeah, we're there.
It's already got crazy. Like, I'm just, here's a thing I just put in our chat. That group there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see Alan Cumming. I see.
Oh, careful. Don't watch Alan Cumming.
I see.
God, how can you tell anybody in this thing?
Well, Alan Cumming, and then on the far left, you got the, what's her name from 30 Rock.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and 30 Rock. And yeah. Yep.
What's her single female lawyer before that? What was that called?
Yeah. Ellie McBeal.
I can only think of the Futurama thing they made fun of. Yes. I never remember. Yeah, Ellie McBeal. That's right. I can't think of her name, though. It's like Blondie McPants. I don't know.
I know. I want to. Geez. Jenna.
Jenna something. That's
oh,
it.
Jenna was her character on 30 Rock, isn't it? Dang it. Krakowski. Right. Something. Jan Krakowski?
Janet.
Jane Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski. Okay.
Jane Krakowski. There she's Louise.
Yeah, she seems to be great.
Yowza. Anyway. So, yeah, excited to watch this. Right now, we are watching season two of Perry Mason, speaking of Matthew Rhys.
Yeah. Did you know they were a real couple? The reason that they cameoed and he did the cameo in Cocaine Bear is because those two are, like, together. They have two kids.
Elizabeth Banks?
No.
Who?
Felicity.
Oh, Kerry Russell?
Kerry Russell.
Oh, really?
I had no idea. Yeah, a bunch of people sent me pictures of Matt, like, out at a park, pushing a stroller around, holding the hand of a little three-year-old. Just looking all casual and married.
That's cool. Good on them, man.
Yeah, I had no idea. They must keep it kind of quiet because it feels like something I would have heard. But anyway.
Very cool.
I want to watch that. How is season two? Because I loved season
one. Perry Mason season two is fantastic. Shea Whigham is back. It was in season one, but again.
Good.
Can't beat some good old Shea Whigham. What's his face? Brother on Weeds.
I like him.
Kirk. Kirk something.
Hold on, I'm gonna look it up.
Kirk Pumba is his name.
Kirk Pumba. That brother is hilarious. What is his name? Yes. His name is Hunter. Nope. His name is Justin Kirk.
Justin Kirk. Oh, that was the problem. I was thinking Kirk first name and trying to build off of that. Yeah, Justin Kirk.
He's got a face for the 40s and 50s. That's great.
He does. Yeah. You see him in his look.
Yeah. But even like his IMDb photo, you look at his face and go, oh, of course you're in a period piece set in the 40s. Of course you are.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's great. And,
love it.
So as soon as we finish that, We're watching Schmigadoon, because some of the stuff that we're waiting to see, and I won't mention them here because I'm saving them for recommendals, isn't finished, hasn't wrapped up yet. So, has Schmigadoon actually is a really good question. Or Schmicago, I guess it is.
Didn't they just call it? So they literally changed the
name
of the series.
I think it's Schmigadoon season two, but I want to say it's called Schmicago is the
title. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. May 3rd is the most recent episode. It looks like looks like all six are out. There we go. May 3rd was episode six. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Boy, there's a show I'm recommending on Wednesday I wish was all out and I could binge.
Or that oh, I know. Yeah.
I'll be talking about it on Wednesday, but it came out already. But man, I am all about what I saw. Holy crap. Can't wait for that thing to work itself out. And I've even read all the books and I already know what happens, but I still can't wait.
Nice.
All right, let's move on to some news. We know that one of the important things we do here on the show is we keep our listeners informed.
That's
so
right.
Today's
yes,
one of those days. That's right. That was freaking loud, wasn't it? Today's news is brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography, a brand new episode of Soundography. It is Soundgardenography. Yes, we listened to the entire library of Soundgarden and Chris Cornell, and my God, we loved it. Spoiler alert, we loved it. But what did we think overall? Like, you know, highs and lows, favorite songs that aren't greatest hits, etc. Well, you'll just have to go to our website and listen, or go to your podcast app, Soundography, or soundography.com if you want to subscribe. Go check it out. And and me and Hammond and all that stuff in one place.
Nice. I love Cornell. I love Soundgarden, and I really like everything else he did, solo or otherwise.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We talk about the Audio Slave and yep. Audio Slave. Yeah, Audio Slave.
Audio Slave. Yeah, they were great.
Yeah,
they were great. Morello in
good
there.
Stuff.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. Let's move on to this first story. This is an Uber story.
Mm. You mean it's just a very, very? It's a very high level story. Is that what you mean?
Nope. I mean it's about driving people around. And I'm going to play this.
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. The weirdest items people have left behind in Ubers. Brian, we're going to see if any of these have been left in your Lyfts before. Okay. it's not unusual, says, what's his name? It's not unusual.
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones. Couldn't think of him. For rideshare passengers to accidentally leave everyday items behind in the car, from phones to bags and so on. But Uber's annual Lost and Found Index reveals far more unusual things that people report missing. Now, we have covered this list before in previous years. However, this year's list is pretty weird. The most unusual item reported missing was a Danny DeVito Christmas ornament someone left in a car.
I love it. Yeah.
That's pretty
good.
That's
great.
Yep.
I want to know what that looks like. Is it... is it like a Always Sunny Danny DeVito? Is it a Taxi Danny DeVito?
Don't Alex Rieger, come on, get over here. Well, I've got a fare for you.
Let's see what it does. Ornament. Let's see if there's one listed somewhere. Oh, I think it's... Oh. Well, on Etsy, there's 1,000 of them where people just making them.
Oh, I'm sure. So, handmade Danny DeVito ornaments, yeah.
There's one that looks like a Dorito. That's pretty cool.
That's right. Oh, yeah, the penguin. That's a good obvious one, right? Is that, you know, the Cobblepot from Batman Returns?
Returns, yeah. Second one. Such a weird movie.
Yeah.
The Outlaws, among the weirder things, he also had an assortment of animals, which included a toy poodle. Somebody left hamsters in the car, two turtles and a rat. But here are the big ones. All right. Here are the ones that are they're strange. A fog machine got left.
That's huge. Those are not small. Tristan had one of those. That would be the hardest thing to leave behind.
Did you use one of those when you were doing wedding DJ stuff?
No, we had a bubble machine, so it would sit on one of our giant speakers, and it was the worst. Oh my God. So yeah, it would fire bubbles out into the crowd, and then we had a light, you know, one of those disco balls with a light thing, and that would reflect on the bubbles and stuff. Sure. Here's the big problem with that. Two big problems with that. Number one, you have to fill it with liquid.
Yeah, right? Like soap stuff, right?
And it never uses up all the liquid throughout the night, which means that A, it's going to get knocked over by a drunk couple dancing or some dude trying to do the hustle, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, if it doesn't get knocked over and dumped out, then you have to figure out what you're going to do with the bubble liquid in this thing. And so you've got to find a bathroom or find some place where you can dump it and clean it out. Horrible. Not
that
worth
sounds
it.
Awful. Not worth it at all. Yeah. No. It's barely worth having that. I got a bubble gun thing upstairs that shoots bubbles out of it, and Van loves it. It's a freaking nightmare to take care of that thing. I hate it.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Bubble liquid is the worst, second worst substance known to man.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
I don't even want to know what the first
is. Let's say it's mayonnaise. Let's go there for jury's sake.
All right. Justin Robert Young, mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, mayonnaise, yeah.
An ankle monitor was found in there as well. So that means somebody... Somebody's in trouble, dude. They lose that.
Right? Or somebody, like, somebody is watching this going, wow, they are, this person, this former inmate is really going all over town.
Yeah, he's just taken the longest drive he's ever had. Pregnancy test, didn't say whether it was positive or negative, but it was there. I hope they didn't hold it in their urine stream while driving.
They didn't conduct the pregnancy test.
Yeah, don't pee on stuff while you're in the car. 16 ounces of fake blood.
Okay. That's hoping it was in a container marked fake blood as opposed to they had to send it to a lab to find out that it was fake blood.
It's also awfully specific. 16 ounces, you know.
Oh, I'm never driving Anna Paquin again.
Nope. She's the truest of the bloods. Get out of my car.
That's right.
Remote controlled vibrator. Oh, yeah.
They left the remote, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But you see, there's TikTok videos of people using this thing. They walk around town. And the guy behind her's got the remote.
Oh, I imagine somebody had one of those going in Vegas. Yeah. I just have to assume that.
That's a deal. Some people do that. Star Wars lightsaber weapon, it says.
It's a Star Wars style.
Oh, style.
Lightsaber weapon.
Lightsaber weapon.
So that you don't get it confused with all of those other style lightsaber weapons, like the...
What do they mean? Like, maybe they mean it's off-brand or something, like a dollar store version or
maybe.
Something?
Maybe. I think it's just somebody, like, instead of saying, well, it's a Star Wars lightsaber weapon, it's a Star Wars style, you know.
Yeah,
the style they use in Star Wars.
Yeah, in the styling of Star Wars, we have made a weapon.
The style they use in Lord of the Rings, for example.
That's really dumb. This is the one that blows my mind, because I guarantee it's more than this. But they have the number, 2 fingernails. There's way more than that in these cars. Way more.
Yeah, for sure.
People are peeling their fingernails off all the time.
Yeah, you just haven't found the other 8.
Yeah. And maybe what they mean is the full, like, cuticle up to tip nail.
Or maybe they were fake nails.
Oh, good point.
It could be like fake, because then they would have put fake nails.
It would have been Lee press-on nails, remember back in the day?
Yeah.
In the 80s, all our girlfriends had Lee press-on nails.
Lee press-on nails, exactly.
They don't have those now, I don't think. Or maybe they do still. I don't know.
If I heard somebody clipping their nails in my car while I was driving them, I think I would say, if you don't cut that out, I'm pulling over, and I'll wait for you to call another Lyft, but I'm leaving you.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I am not.
Here's the deal.
You didn't.
Okay, we got a plan here. Next time you're driving and you hear that, okay, and maybe the music's too loud and maybe you never will, but let's just say you hear it.
No, I never have the music so loud that I wouldn't be able to hear that.
You need to turn your phone on video.
Yeah.
We need to hear you say this to that lady. I need to hear it.
Well, here's the thing. You will get to, because I have a Ring car cam in my car now, front and back car cam. I usually leave the interior facing one closed, which is probably dumb with me lifting, because somebody's going to do something to me. That's probably a good idea for me to capture it on video. But, But I also notice when the thing is on and there's that little glowing blue light that shows that it's on.
Yeah.
That hardly anybody wants to have a conversation.
Oh, they shut up, do they? Do they pipe
down? They shut up. Like, it becomes, it's like, and I don't mind the occasional quiet ride, but it's basically like, hey, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Good. And then it's like, I can't see it, but I know probably at that point they're noticing the blue light.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, well, how's your, do you got any good plans over the weekend? Nope.
Nothing. I got nothing. I'm not doing anything. This is all I have to say about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wonder.
Right, final revivalist. If Fern Brady clips her nails in my car, I'll allow it.
Okay,
Zoe Deschanel, Fern Brady.
There you go. There's a few names, Brian. He'll allow it.
There's probably a really long list of who I'd allow to
clip their nails in my car. There's some people he'd let through.
Yes. Andy Garcia can clip his nails in my car. Just so it's not, oh, Brian only cares about ladies. Nope. All right, Andy Garcia can clip his nails in my car.
Andy Garcia is your one male exception.
That's right.
Love that.
Brad Pitt, if he can put down his food for 1 second, he can clip his nails in my car.
Oh, I don't. Do you think the rumors are true that guy never showers or something? There's stock that he never showers.
What, that Brad Pitt never showers?
Yeah. Or am I thinking of somebody else? I'm thinking of
Gerard Depardieu, because I'll believe that one in a heartbeat.
No. That 70s show couple.
Topher Grace? Oh, no. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis.
There's all this talk that never showered.
That is the rumor that he does, that Kutcher doesn't shower.
Yeah, and that she doesn't either now, or it's part of their natural lifestyle, whatever. I know. Gross. Gross. Take a shower once in a while. Gosh dang it.
Who turned on the shower? It wasn't me.
I wonder how many people are tempted to leave stuff in an Uber or a Lyft because they want to be funny, you know, like a remote controlled vibrator or whatever. Like,
it's hilarious. But then you don't get to see the aftermath. You don't get to see the actual comedy bit of them discovering the thing that they've left in the Uber.
Maybe you're hoping they'll make this list or something, you know, like
that's right. I've had two people leave phones. One at the airport, and then one that I actually took all the legwork to hunt this person down and get their phone back to them.
Yeah.
And because I knew that I drove them to their waitressing job first thing in the morning, and I could tell it was like, I've got to do this and got to pay the bills. And then I drove back up to Boulder on my own dime and returned the phone to her.
How was your tip from her? Is that okay?
She gave me $15 and that's totally fine. Cause okay. It was $15 and and I even said, you don't need to tip me. She's like, no, I have to, I'm sorry. I you've done so much, or you've made my day or whatever.
No.
But it was all like ones and fives, which I know is like, she got, those were her tips or came out of her tips for the day. And it's like, oh, if I could leave it in her mailbox and be sure that she'd get it. Then I would have done it.
Yeah.
But, and then some guy, this weekend, I'm dropped off what was my last ride, and I'm heading home, and I get a call that a phone number I don't recognize. And I say, this is Brian. And I usually don't say it that nicely when I don't recognize the number, because I want to let telemarketers know that I mean business.
Yeah.
Brian. Yeah. That's how I say it.
Yeah. You're trouble. Brian. You're not just going to take their bullshit. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, we're starting off. We're starting off at a level five. Don't push me. Don't push me up.
That's right.
But anyway, he says, hey, this is Alex. I was just in your car. Did I leave a pair of sunglasses in there?
Nope.
I said, oh, hold on. Let me check. And so I find the next convenient place to pull over. I get out. I look all over the back seat. I don't find a pair of sunglasses. But I do find that someone during that day had gum on the bottom of their shoe, and now there's gum on my freaking floor mat.
Oh, well, to their credit, maybe they didn't know. They tracked it in.
That's what I have to basically.
You have to live with that thought. Yeah, that's just going to be how it is.
Somebody didn't just dump their gum in my
or gun.
Dump their gum. Their Star Wars style gun. The Star Wars style blaster.
Yeah. You know, from Star Wars.
If you've seen Star Wars, I now have to ice and scrape and all that stuff.
Oh, did that work? Have you done that, or did that work?
I started the process and put some ice on it, and then got too sucked into Perry Mason and forgot I'd put ice on it. So I have soggy gum and a floor mat.
I was going to say.
Realized.
You, in effect, you put water on it. Nice job.
It's exactly what I put some nice cold water on it. So I'm going to continue fixing it after the show today.
Speaking of lost phones, I don't know what happened, but right before Vegas, we found two lost phones in the same day, which is unusual. Found one in a intersection crossing on our way to breakfast to this place we like around here, and it was just laying there, shattered up pretty good. It wouldn't work. It wasn't on. So we just took it to the restaurant we were heading to and just said, in case they come by here, we don't know whose this is. And she was fine doing that. And then there, later that very same day, we're walking around the lake, another phone face down on the path. That one was working. So we're like, all right, we're going to take this to the closest place where they could do similar as the restaurant, but also we're going to wait for the call.
Yeah.
And the lady called and said, hi, is this my phone? You know, she was like,
yeah. How do you answer? Like, that's the thing, right? So you've got their phone.
Yeah.
I wrestled with this when this happened to the person in Boulder. Like, I was waiting for a call. I kept that phone with me. Went to the bathroom. Kept the phone with me. The whole day, kept the phone with me. Finally, she gets a call. I'm like, I answer the phone. Hi, I have this phone that belongs to the person you're trying to call. Do you know how I can get in touch with them?
Yeah. It's weird.
That's all you can do, right? And you hope it's not a telemarketer going, hi, would you like to save 10% on your insurance by switching to Geico?
Right. Yeah, that's what I was worried about, is we'd get calls from something else, either something random like that or someone's mom or, you know, so how do you even do the conversation? But it was luckily the lady who dropped it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, or Kim had it. And Kim's like, well, it's a little scratched up because it was kind of banged up, like cracked and stuff. Sure. But she was like, oh, you're just going to save me. This is so great. Where do you want us to meet you? And we just took it to a grocery store and dropped it off. I'm still waiting for the karma payback, though, and all that. So, karma, where's my payback for getting these two people their phones back? Okay?
Yeah.
I'm ready
You might have to look back. Maybe you've got thousands of followers on TikTok. Maybe that's your karmic payback.
That's my payback. It's in retro.
Maybe you've gotten the good thing, and now you're paying for the good thing by doing nice things for people forever.
See, this is the problem. It's so undefined that nobody knows how karma works.
That's right. Exactly. I've already borrowed. I've already gotten the loan, the karmic loan, and I'm paying it back. Yep. Oh, darn. Okay.
What a shame. All right, we're going to move on to the story about some Americans who did a thing that's weird.
Yeah.
Americans caught smuggling 375 pounds. That's our measurement. I don't know what it is in kilos. It's a lot, though. How many kilos per pound, or how many pounds per kilo?
I have no idea. That's one conversion I never bothered to learn.
Yep, didn't either. Never had a need to. But anyway, 375 pounds of fruit roll-ups into Israel. They're blaming TikTok somehow. Okay, so I'll read the story. Israeli officials found a strangely sweet surprise in an American tourist suitcase this week. Security at the Ben Gurion, is that how you say it? Ben Gurion Airport?
Ben
Gurion?
Ben Gurion.
Ben Gurion. Probably some famous.
Sorry, pulling up the Indian in the middle stuff. Sorry.
Oh, totally fine.
please continue. I'll continue. Participate
you
as
know
much
what?
As I can.
I'll continue. This is at the International Airport in Tel Aviv. They unzipped the American couple suitcase and were bursting. It was bursting with about 375 pounds of fruit roll-ups on May 2nd. Nice. There was a whole video and stuff around it. It wasn't the first time Americans have been caught sneaking cavity-inducing amounts of fruit roll-ups into Israel this week. In fact, it wasn't even the first time of the same week. My Mac is freaking out. Okay, there we go. Let's see. First time this week, about 661 pounds of fruit roll-ups were confiscated within one week at the airport, according to the outlet. Sure. This is some kind of TikTok.
Yeah, that's what somebody in chat is saying. A Whatnot and Merman, I should turn to be. Merman, I should turn to be.
Merman, I should turn to be.
Merman, I should turn to be.
Sure.
I think I'm saying that right. I mean, those are the words that,
unless
it's Mermani, should turn to be.
Oh my gosh, look at all these. What the frick?
Yeah, so people apparently know what to, wrapping.
Wow.
People are saying wrapping around ice cream. I hope that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
But it sounds like it's also wrapping around, wieners.
Oh, well then, okay.
The sexual act of wrapping them around wieners. But,
okay, droves of TikTok creators created videos or shared videos of them trying out the latest snack innovation, ice cream inside of a fruit roll-up in a type of dumpling shape. According to the testers, the ice cream hardens the fruit roll-up, making it a delicious treat. Videos of the hack have gone viral, 14 million views. But why Israel?
Yeah, that's a good question. Oh, look at that. Okay. All right. I'm kind of in. So I was thinking it was rolled up around it like a, you're basically creating a mochi ball, right? Isn't that basically what you're doing?
It's like a little dumpling type thing.
Yeah. Right? This, I'm going to give you a video or a page that has a video on it of a woman enjoying,
here we go.
This fruit roll up. Concoction, and damn it if it doesn't look awesome.
It kind of does. Okay, I hate to say how good this looks, but it does look good. All right, look at this, you guys. Hold on. Oh, it's not playing though. That thing you sent doesn't show. Where's video? There's video.
Oh, really? There? Yeah, scroll down. There's a TikTok embedded TikTok video.
No. It's the foodandwine.com. Is that the one?
Yeah, it's the Here's Why Fruit Roll-Ups Are Everywhere Right Now. I wonder if it's blocking the embedded. I'll give you just a direct link to her TikTok.
Oh, I think there I found you go. It. This blonde lady with boofed up hair.
Yeah, the one. Well, there's one above that. Look at the link I gave you in Discord first.
Okay, hold on.
and because then there's Dime Store Gene Smart is the second performance.
Oh,
there.
Oh yeah, look at that. Oh yeah, like a little dumpling.
Like a little dumpling, yes.
Okay, if I was 10, I'd do this.
I'm 53 and I want to do this.
You should do this and tell us what you think. This would probably spike me too hard, but I'd be very curious about
it. Yeah, I could tell when I was drinking that that frozen drink that I got on Fremont Street.
Yeah.
I could tell your
I miss your, those kind of things.
Blood sugar was going just being around.
I used to love like any kind of slushy anything was kind of my jam, and now I can't have those anymore. Yeah. Oh, it's a bummer.
But looks like the key is freezing it. But yeah, I mean, you basically are just turning it into a mochi ball.
Yeah.
I guess it becomes harder than mochi. So I guess it's...
I assume it like cracks when you bite into it.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. All right.
All right.
I'm too lazy to go to the store. Actually, I do have to go to Target today. So I'll look and see if I can find fruit roll-ups there. Yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah, they have a... they have an exclusive, get ready to laugh at Brian.
Okay.
They have an exclusive Hasbro action figure set with one of Groot's transformations in Guardians of the Galaxy 3 that comes with Baby Rocket and the dog Cosmo.
Oh.
And you can only get it at Target.
Well, getting this. Of course you are.
I have one reserved. Yeah. Yeah. Because they only had three. They only had three in stock. So it's like, oh, I've got to go there now.
Well, yeah. No, you know what? Two thumbs up. Way up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll show it off on the store tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
On the show.
Don't show it off on the store.
I'll show it off on the store today as I walk around looking. I got Groot. And then when I get to the show tomorrow. Then
you'll tell us about how you were arrested and how that worked.
Right. It didn't work, yeah. I tried wrapping a fruit roll-up around Groot, and it just went poorly. And yeah.
Can't wait. It's going to be great info. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran will join us. After that, we got Bobby. We got some science. All that and more coming up. But we got to play a song, so play that song. What do you got?
Yeah, July 14th. Mark that date on your calendar. Get your calendar out. I'll wait. Okay, you got it out? Okay, good.
I'm out.
On July 14th, the brand new album from Mr. Wives comes out. It's called Nosebleeds, comes out July 14th. These guys are going to be touring with Bishop Briggs across North America all summer and fall long, so make sure you check them out. This is the band Mr. Wives, not to be confused with Sister Wives, and the first single from the album, it is the title track from the album Nosebleeds, which makes it called Nosebleeds.
Oh, very nice. Here it is. We'll be right back.
Just like me. Wonder what it might be like. nobody, trying to be somebody. Thought that I was different, just a carbon copy. Lost in the illusion, if I'm winning or I'm losing. Thought that I was different, that was a delusion. Wonder what it might be like, just for one night.
Isn't that wild? I just took four flash pictures without changing bulbs.
Too tired to piss, too full of piss to sleep.
Oh, ear, mirror, gird. This is the morning stream.
And we're back, everybody. Tell me again who that was.
Sure. A band that is based somehow in both New York City and Los Angeles, alt-pop group Mr. Wives, brand new album is called Nosebleeds, comes out in July. That is the title track.
How does that work if you say you're in both
places? It says
places.
Today, New York City, Los Angeles-based alt-pop group. Let's see if they explain. They're probably some of the band lives in one place, some of the band lives in the other place, and they either perform or somehow record individually.
Maybe they're just being a hoot. They're being a hoot.
They are being a hoot. Yeah, there are so many paragraphs in this thing. I'm not going to read it. Wow.
No.
Who reads this level of PR?
Nobody. Nobody. Sorry. That's a bad idea. Don't be putting that much PR.
TLDR it.
Yeah, damn straight. All right. We're going to do some good quality Bill time. And that starts now.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Oh, look who it is. It's Bill, our good friend Bill. He is all the way over there at punishprops.com. And he's here today to share some cool creativity with us, because that's all things Punish Props. Hi, Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here. You came up in conversation yesterday, and I'm trying to remember how. Kim and... Oh, no. What was it? Carter... I can't remember. We're having a conversation with the kids, and somebody said something, and somebody said, oh, Bill could make that. And I went, boy, he sure could. And then that was the end of it. But I don't remember what it was. But, you know, you could make anything, I guess, is the point.
It's starting to feel that way. I sure have all the tools in my basement.
That's right. You can make whatever you want to make. But we're going to make content with you right now. Tell us what you got going. What's going on?
Brittany and I have, over the last couple of months, started to sort of spool up a new 3D printing venture, a new 3D printing thing that we're going to do. And we're still in kind of the early planning stages, but we'll be doing a lot of 3D printing prototyping. So we decided to buy a new 3D printer.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
We actually don't have a lot of printers. I have an Ultimaker. Really? Yep.
Okay.
That one's actually quite old. It still works really well, but I have it set up to print ABS for props.
I was going
to
ask you. So that's a filament. The Ultimaker is a filament.
Yeah.
Deal.
Mm-hmm. And I use ABS for props because I end up sanding all of them. But the new stuff I'm doing isn't going to be prop related. I'm not going to sand it. So we got this new Prusa 3D printer, and we plan on printing only in PLA.
Oh. Okay.
We got a kit. We put together several 3D printer kits over the years, but this 3D, I don't know, either of you put together a 3D printing kit?
No, I've never done it.
Yeah, I've put together, I think over the years, four different filament-based FDM mm-hmm. 3D printers.
So what does that mean? You get like chunks and parts and then connect them? And
yeah, you don't... It basically comes in like bars and stuff that you have to assemble. Like the hot end is going to be all one piece, and the mechanism that moves it and all that sort of thing. But you're basically assembling the frame that this thing sits in.
Okay. All right. And I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought you just buy a printer and you had all the stuff you needed and off you go. I mean, which is true, I guess, but
Some assembly required, batteries not included.
All right.
What's cool about let me see here So you can get one fully assembled. Looks like I'm looking on their website. It's $900, and then for the kit, it's only $650.
Oh,
so you save quite a few bucks by buying the kit. And you get to put it all together yourself. I was really impressed, like you, Brian. I've put together several 3D printer kits over the years. Mm-hmm. This is the best, the Prusa one.
Yeah.
The instructions are really good. They're printed, really good instructions. With past kits, that's been a problem, especially ones from overseas. The instructions tend to be pretty lackluster.
Yeah.
And then the Prusa machines, a lot of the parts are 3D printed on Prusa machines.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a giant 3D print farm where they print a ton of their parts. And what's really neat about that is they can version their parts. So this machine has evolved over time, and all they do is spit out a new part, push it to all their printers, and now that all their printers are printing new parts. And on each part, you can look, and there's usually like a version number, which is kind of cool. So the Prusa i3 Mark III S that I have is not the same as the one that someone would have bought like a year or two ago. It's kind of neat how they're able to do that, iterate on the fly like that.
Yeah. So if you can anybody do this? You just have to have half a brain to figure it out, or is this like a complicated mess?
No, super easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. That's good to know, because I've never done that. And if I got a decent printer in here, I mean, this is always going to be true in some way, right? They can pre-assemble most of it, but you're still going to have to do some stuff on site.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you get just a massive box, like the Cobra Max that I have would have had to come in a box probably about the size of one of those mattresses that expands once you open the box. But you know, it came in a much smaller box because it you know, basically you're basically just putting all the bars and the frame and stuff together, and it's so easy. The instructions are really good, and if there aren't good instructions, YouTube has somebody's assembled it and put the video up on YouTube.
Somebody's always
For context too, though, my Ultimaker came fully assembled right out of a huge box, but you pull it out, plug it in, and it's ready to go. Of course, that machine costs $2,500. So do you pay for what you get, sort of thing?
Wow.
We've been printing a ton of stuff off of the new machine to sort of put it through its paces. I'm really impressed with some of the new features. These are not new for 3D printers, but I have not had a printer with these features. So it can detect when the filament runs out and it'll stop printing.
Yeah.
Which my Ultimaker does not do. It has mesh bed leveling. It doesn't actually level the bed. It just goes around and senses the height of the bed, and then it prints accordingly.
Oh, see, so, that's a cool feature. That's a cool step forward, because isn't that like the big hang up for a lot of people, is trying to get that damn bed leveled? Yeah.
It used to be, like, I remember the earlier days of 3D printing, getting stuff to stick down to the bed was always the struggle.
Yeah.
And then also power loss recovery. So if a power goes out, it will, when you turn it back on, it'll be able to recover. And again, my $2,500 Ultimaker, granted, it's like 10 years old.
Yeah.
It doesn't do that. Yeah. If the power goes out, I have to then figure out where the print stopped and then reslice it at that point, print the rest of it, and glue it back together.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're much more like, I wouldn't even consider that worth the work. I just say, well, there's some plastic crap I've got to throw out, and I've got to start it over.
If you're like a day and a half into a 3-day helmet print.
Yeah, that's true. Use, get a little Raspberry Pi and put Octoprint on there, because that will remember where you left off.
That's a great idea. I'm actually planning on doing that on my Prusa, so I can do cool time lapses with the camera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I really want to do that.
Yeah,
someone in chat says universal power supply, or uninterruptible power supply. I do have one of those.
They just wanted you to order something on UPS.
Yeah,
I do. My Ultimaker is printed, plugged into one of those, and it'll run the machine for about 45 minutes. Ask me how I know.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's the thing with those, is they're great if you only have an outage that lasts 10 minutes, but it's not always true. Yeah.
Nope.
The whole idea, the whole idea of those is just like, hey, the power's out. Now I can safely shut everything down. It's not so much that I can run for 45 more minutes. Woo!
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, like I said, we've been putting it through its paces, and I've been doing a lot of printing on the machine. And we've been going out and looking for people who make and sell really cool 3D files, which is fun. There are a lot of people out there now who are doing that, a lot of Patreons and stores where you can buy 3D files. And of course, I am an advocate for paying artists for the cool work that they do. So I've been tweeting about it over on my on Chimbeard on Twitter. Some of the things we've been printing. This one place called JBV Creative Studios has a bunch of cool things. I like printing stuff that are like kits that you can put together. Mm-hmm. And they had a multi-part geared mechanism that's really neat. You can either run it with a power drill or a hand crank, which is fun.
Oh, cool.
And it makes a little Beyblade type thing spin around, which is always a good time.
Yeah.
So that was a fun one to check out. And then my friend Allie Katz does... what's this called? The Ultimate Picture Frame. So it's a modular picture frame for both Imperial and Metric. There's a whole bunch of different kits. And again, you print the parts you need and you can assemble it to make a picture frame exactly the size you need.
Oh, give me cool. Give me 5 seconds. I'm going to grab the thing I printed just recently.
All right, go for it.
Show off.
Go for
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
All right.
So the picture frame we put together, and my friend Sanit, Spicy Thai Design, sent us a drawing years ago. And we finally got it all framed up because of this
nice.
Thing.
Fine, you know, sometimes projects start and then there's a big chunk of time and then
I'm pretty sure I got this picture in 2015. But I finally got it framed.
Yeah, it was a pretty good year, so I you know, you probably what for whatever reason sometimes we just put our stuff off. I was looking here at your your Twitter account. Hold on, let me move that back up. This repost you did of Metzula in Disneyland.
Yeah,
is that the thing? And Brian's back. Maybe he did it. Brian, did you print that medallion that Metzula's wearing at the Disney thing?
Yeah, the his Grogu Flava Flav thing that he wore last night at Star Wars night.
It's great.
So good.
It's
so
great. Good. Yeah.
He's
all right. So
if you saw him though, if you saw him in a Walmart, you might call security. Is all I'm saying.
You totally would. Yes, with those feet and everything.
Yeah.
So one of the people that I follow that I have a Patreon to that does 3D stuff is Clockspring 3D, and highly recommend them.
They're on my list. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the skull box.
Oh yeah.
And it's got a nice little lid that you pop off here. Let me. Yeah. From this angle, nice little lid and stuff.
Yeah.
But let me turn off my lights here because I want this to be visible.
Yeah,
it works with the EL wire, electroluminescent wire.
Yeah,
and so.
Oh, what
you? So you know, you basically run EL wire through the grooves on this thing, and then you've got a skull box that lights up, and it's even got a place inside for the EL wire to hang out. I haven't separated out the lid yet, but yeah, this is
I want to do some.
This is the damn coolest thing.
Oh,
I gotta
it's so,
say.
Cool. So cool. I want to make Tron stuff now. That'd be perfect for Tron stuff.
You can totally do Tron stuff. You can do, you know.
You know, there's a new LED wire that's very similar. It's about 3 millimeters wide, very similar to EL wire. However, it is brighter and does not require an inverter that whines at you.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. So it's worth that would be worth checking out as well. This thin lighting stuff is something I've been looking to explore, and through 3D printing, I think that's where I'm going to do it. I love the idea of designing stuff where you then sock in these pre-made things, and they just work.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Totally. I'm trying to figure out a way to do a lightsaber / kyber crystal holder that uses EL wire and looks, you know, very Sith, because it'll be red and black and stuff. And
people use this on their car interiors. Crazy.
Yeah,
I've never seen this before. Yeah. This is wild. That is news to me. It's only 14 bucks for this much. Jeez, it's cheap.
You get a lot of stuff with I ended up with 5 different colors of EL wire for $14. Yeah,
it's like you're
only using the green for this.
Yeah,
those kits with like all the different. I think I have like 3 of those downstairs.
I think I'm gonna order one.
If I look up LED wire, I'm not quite sure that what you would do to search for it, but Tested has a video or two on it. This thin LED wire. The only difference between the EL wire is you have to connect your leads on the opposite. You have a lead on one side of the wire and a lead on the other side of the wire.
Oh, on this one I didn't.
Yeah, for EL, it's all on one side.
Oh, I see what you're saying. For LED wire, you have to have a connection on both sides. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah.
I've seen Amazon has some. They've got a Toink brand, 100 feet RGB 4 wire conductor cords. LED.
I think that is that actual LED wire? Is that wire to connect your LED?
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact LED. Exact term to use.
Yeah,
I can't find
but,
it.
But like I said, though, Norm did a video on it and tested. If you're interested,
yeah, I'll go look for that
stuff. And I'll be playing. I'll be ordering and playing with some of that in the coming weeks. I'm sure.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Very, very cool, man. This is I love that box, Brian. Gosh dang it, that's cool.
I know, it's so cool. That'll be my. I'll use that for my selfie for the show,
the thing today,
thumbnail today.
We should do. We should get. We should make a 3D. I'm sure this would be easy. Actually, make a 3D printed. Disc Tron disc.
Oh yeah,
and really easy to do with the sort of translucent.
I'm pretty sure someone's probably already done that.
Oh, I'm more positive. Wire,
yeah.
That'd be so cool. I'd put that on my wall and never let it down.
Oh, that'd be really awesome.
All right, very cool. Always good.
Never gonna let you down.
Always good getting some inspiration from Bill and from Punish Props. Bill, anything in the form of a bonus link this week?
Speaking of tested, I just put a link in the chat in Discord.
Yeah.
Tessa did a video covering some of the stop motion walkers from Boba Fett and Mandalorian. Now these were done over at Tippett Studios, and my friend Sean Charlesworth, another tested friend, he works at Tippett, and he got to make walkers, stop motion walkers for Star Wars. I think that's the coolest thing ever.
Oh man. Are you kidding me? Dude, when I was a kid, this is all I cared about.
And they did lots of 3D printing for it. They got some stuff 3D printed in metal, and then they machined it after the fact. Mm. The spider walker, its legs are all 3D printed metal. And I think
this is so cool. I love that they didn't just go with the standard Star Wars AT-AT, you know, looking thing. Like this thing with like the claw machine.
And a crane and all those parts move. You could play with it. It's like these stop motion things are like the coolest toys ever.
Yeah,
they're robust and
The crane. That's announcing what Brian's talking about. Holy shit!
Yeah, right.
I mean, want that so bad.
It looks so. I hate to say it, but it looks like something from that movie that you kind of like so much.
Yeah, that one I sort of mention occasionally.
Yeah.
Star Wars and Mad Max had a baby, basically. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Great stuff as always. Check out Adam Savage's channel. And of course, punishprops.com. If you're not already subbed, then who the heck are you? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Bill
who
Duran.
Who are you?
Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
See you, friends.
Bye now.
See ya. That link, by the way, on quicktms.li. So those of you listening to the show, just go to that and you can check it out.
Check it out indeed. Let's get science in here.
Science.
Yeah. Time to learn. Get some sciencey science all up in our veins. We got to play this, though.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
Well, sure does. Bobby's here, and he's here from South Carolina. Beautiful South Carolina. Just one of the many folks we have on the show from South Carolina.
Part of our South Carolina collection.
That's right.
Here on TMS.
You guys need to have a meetup of your own. Anyway, it's Bobby. And Bobby, it's good to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing great. I feel so relieved. For almost half a year, I've had this sense of sort of dread. And coming on the show every Tuesday has been really awkward for me because I've been really worried that one of you guys really hated me. Because I never got I feel like I got kicked off of Brian's Christmas card list.
I mean, how do you know? You don't know until somebody. It's a hard thing to bring up. I get it.
It's so true. I'm so glad now that because I kept feeling like, my God, Bobby hates me. He hasn't said thank you for the $500 Amazon gift card that we included in his Christmas card.
How weird.
You know, this is a public service announcement then that communication is very important. You can just say what you're feeling to the people you care about.
Yeah, if you like somebody and you have a concern, don't sit on it.
Yeah.
You know, let it out. All right. Bobby, we let him out once a week to talk about science, and he's here to do that today. Hey, Bobby, what's going on? I loved some of the stuff you're working on for your current episodes of the show. Like you were talking about, what was it? How not everything in nature is, like someone says it's natural, it must be good.
Yeah.
That concept. I loved that stuff. That is such...
Yeah, we're trying to talk more about, or at least I am. I've always wanted to make critical thinking a major part of our mission at All Around Science. And it can be tough to decide to start doing a regular thing about that, because you worry about, when you're talking about critical thinking and logical fallacies, you worry about, you know, being really pedantic and talking down to people and being like, you're thinking wrong and this is the way you should be thinking.
Yeah.
So I finally found a sort of like way in with a news story that talked about, you know, healthy eating and natural foods and stuff like that. And it was from, you know, it was a way in to talk about, you know, the appeal to nature logical fallacy, which we see a lot nowadays. So,
oh, tons.
If you're interested in that,
yeah,
and how that, you should definitely check out this latest episode that came out yesterday and look forward to in the future. It's not going to necessarily be an every week thing, but I'm going to look for more reasons to have like a recurring, like, let's talk about this logical fallacy. There's a huge long list of logical fallacies. And no. And they're really important to learn,
right,
what they are, not necessarily because you need to be able, everybody suffers from flaws in thinking and you need to be able to recognize them, not just in others. That's not the point, not to point out other people's mistakes.
To criticize others, yes. Oh, yeah, I like it though. It's a nice little, it's icing on the cake.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. But it makes you feel good. But you also want to be able to identify when you are doing it yourself, you know.
Yeah, and, more of that, please. Yeah. More people recognizing their own bullshit would be nice. That'd be a real good thing.
For sure.
But there I am talking down. Hey, Bobby, let's get into whatever you brought for us today, though. What sort of awesome science are we going to try to scale?
So, did you hear that it was just on January 30th? Was it January 30th? Oh, never mind. I'm looking at the wrong date. on May 5th, a couple of days ago, on January 30th was the day I marked on my calendar that I think my friendship with Brian has been canceled.
Oh, I see.
It was a whole month after Christmas.
Whole month.
Yeah. It was nice of you to give me that much leeway, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, things happen. On May 5th of this year, the World Health Organization declared that the COVID-19 emergency is over. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Here's what I heard. I heard the 11th, and then somebody yesterday in my car said that they heard it was the 8th. Have they bounced around with dates? Have they like had a hard time pinning down?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. I may have just, you know, sometimes you're looking at these articles too, and you're trying to figure out what date something happened, and it says like yesterday or something in it, and you just quickly look at the date that it was published. So I may even have the date wrong.
I mean, you know, I seriously, two people said, and not based on like yesterday or tomorrow, the thing will be over. No, somebody said the 11th, and then I said, oh yeah, here the 11th, you know, is we can call the COVID nightmare right. over, even though COVID will still be a thing.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
said, oh, I heard it was the 8th. And so we were trying to figure out what was real.
A lot of people jump to that conclusion, though. They go, oh, COVID's over. It's gone. Eradicated.
Yeah, we've eradicated the virus.
It's not what it means. It just means, it literally means it's no longer in emergency mode. It's kind of like, think DEFCON, we went from DEFCON 4 to 3, or we went from...
Right.
Well, so what it really means is that we now can officially sort of say that COVID is endemic.
Yeah.
It's no longer a pandemic. It's the official thing that was being said was... that and this is why I actually wrote down January 30th in my notes here, was that on January 30th of 2020 was when the World Health Organization declared that COVID was a public health emergency of international concern. The PHEIC. Basically that has expired and not been, you know, it's gone. And that might be what the 11th date is, that maybe that's when it's going to expire, but it was just announced. Maybe. By the WHO chief, Tedros.
The WHO chief.
WHO chief.
WHO chief.
Yeah.
I like that.
Finally just declared that that's what was going to happen. And like you said, Scott, that and even he emphasized that the fight is not over for COVID. It's just endemic. We cannot, you know, just like dismantle all the things we've been doing. His quote was, he said, last week COVID-19 claimed a life every 3 minutes. It's still happening, you know, like it's still, people are still dying from COVID. We can't just say we're done and then not do anything about it anymore. It's just that this is now what governments need to do is work this into if they haven't already, work this into the standard operating procedures of how they handle yearly, you know, illnesses that go around like the flu, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't know exactly what we're going to be doing yet entirely, but I'm interested. I was talking to my wife about this. You know, she's a pharmacist. Stephanie was saying, I wonder how she's interested to see in the fall what that's going to look like for her, because they do flu shots, they do all kinds of vaccinations at the pharmacy. So is that just going to be part of the routine flu shots that they, or the routine vaccinations they do in the fall? So don't really know yet.
Interesting. So yeah. So it's like red alert, but now we're at yellow alert. That's the Star Trek comparison is a closer thing, right? Because it's still, everybody's still got to be, and if winter comes and suddenly a new variant starts wiping out half the population, be like, well, oh shit, we got to go back up to red alert, Captain, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair to say right now, but eventually you're not going to probably be thinking about it as alert levels at all.
Right.
But the WHO chief did say, I know it's really funny.
It's funny every time you say that.
it did say, I will not hesitate to go back to a public health emergency. It sounded like he was threatening. He was like our parents, right?
It's
like,
the don't make me stop this endemic. Yeah.
I will turn this car around.
Exactly.
So he's like saying, seriously, we need to continue to take it seriously. At the same time that this happened, I just read this morning that the current CDC director, Walensky, is resigning.
Oh.
He's
had a busy couple of years. I think if I worked in that job, if it looked like I had a window, I think I'd take it, you know?
Yeah. She started at during the pandemic.
Right.
So she took over with the start of the Biden administration and inherited a CDC that had a rapidly deteriorating reputation. Because of the Trump administration was horribly mishandling all of the pandemic stuff. And so her effort was to completely restructure, maybe not completely, but a major restructuring of the CDC and their focus and their mission, and to focus more on public health and communication rather than just churning out papers and science and stuff like that.
Right. So let me ask you this. You say we've moved to endemic status effectively. Mm-hmm. Does that mean every
outside?
Yeah,
I know.
Someone's mowing.
Don't get me started.
How do you even mow in that state of yours? Like when I was in Mississippi.
It's our lawn care guy, and I don't like this guy.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like this guy. Don't like the look in his eye, do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, this is what I was going to say. If it's endemic status, does that mean that in September, October every year, we go in and get boosters? Do we go in and get regular old-fashioned vaccines the way we do for the flu and that sort of thing? Like, what is the plan there?
I don't know. Yes is the short answer to that. We don't know whether it'll be... Will they call them boosters or will they just call them COVID shots? I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if technically we can... Do we consider the flu shot? Is that really a booster? A flu booster? I don't know.
Not really, I guess.
But we are going to get something on a regular basis. That's for sure.
Okay.
There's no way we're going to get around that.
And by the way, just so I can get it out there, so I can stem off some emails, all the listeners who are, and you're fine to listen to the show, but if you're an anti-vaxxer, don't write in telling me what you think. I already know what you think. I already know. So when we say we have to get vaccines, you don't have to come and tell me why you think I shouldn't get one, because I guarantee those emails are already clacking away on somebody's keyboard. Just stay there. We don't need it. We know. We already know how you feel. You're good. We know. All right? We know.
It'll go right to the trash.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's not going
to
bother.
What I always say to those people is, we're not going to convince you and you're not going to convince us. So let's just move on, right? Yeah. Like, let's just move past it. Exactly. If you need to mute for a few minutes, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's just agree to disagree, because we're not going to convince each other. Even though I'm right.
It's true.
So that's just where it's going to be. I think the bigger question when it comes to the endemic status of COVID is, and how the shots are going to work, is it going to be like a combo shot with the flu, or are we going to have to get multiples or something like that? That's the question I have.
Right.
Is what is it going to look like? You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I guess when I heard this, I had a feeling of, okay, that sounds right. Right. Like a kind of a common sense feeling of that's where we're at with this thing. And that's good. That's better than what it could have been. You know, the mutations ended up being less and less severe, but more catchy. Right. That's good. Mm-hmm. I think as an alternative to, they're really, really severe and everyone dies who gets it, right? So, like, the trajectory it took was one of, like, it watered itself down to be more catchworthy. And to me, that was a positive direction. If you're going to have any positive direction, that's the one to have. And so when he said, yeah, the emergency's done, we're good, I immediately heard from some people around me, I'm not going to name names or anything, but some who are like, no, it's not done. It's the worst thing ever still. It's awful. Mm-hmm. Wear a mask right now, this very second. Like kind of freaked out, kind of hardcore on that end of it. Do you have suggestions about how people should balance their thinking with this? Because on the one hand, it's like, we want government to be good at what they do. On the other hand, we don't trust them. And it's just kind of this weird, you know, everybody probably has a little bit of that in their head about the government or about what's being told to us or what isn't being told to us and when it's being told to us and that sort of thing. Like, I know there's not a lot of science to what I'm asking you, but what do you say to that? What do you think is the best path for somebody to take who is either completely freaked out and still is about COVID or those who have definitely moved on? Like, what's the happy little middle place where, you know, where it's going to make the most sense for people to be?
Well, I always tell people that you have to do what makes you feel the most comfortable. You know, when it comes to like personal, like how, you know, like what I've taken to calling pandemic hygiene, right? Which is, you know, the way you conduct yourself at home and in public, you know, mask wearing, hand washing, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
For that part of it, I think you have to do what's going to make you feel comfortable. So if wearing a mask makes you feel comfortable, just do it. If not, whatever. Some people have, everybody has different levels of threat detection, you know, when it comes to this stuff. Now, when it comes to other things like the actions you have to take in terms of trusting whether to get a vaccine, you know, with the science changing on all these things all the time, we get a lot of information from the government. We get a lot of information from CDC, from scientists, even on the level of scientists, you get debates about whether we should be getting the bivalent booster or not. There are some very, very smart people in the field that you know, call into question whether or not we should even get certain boosters because of whether they're effective or not. When it comes to that, I always say that what I try to keep in mind is that the people in the, I'm going to say what I'm going to say first and then caveat it. The people that are in the positions of power, like the government, they're trying to do their best for the people, right? So they're being cautious and everything. Now, the caveat there is that there are, of course, exceptions. And in times of extreme pressure, you know, those kinds of advice can change all the time. And it depends a lot on your mileage may vary on whether or not you trust the current government. Right.
Right.
But if you do, then just keep in mind that they're trying to help you. If not, again, it boils down to what do you feel comfortable with doing? You just have to, I don't know. I feel like this is probably, at the core of this, this is more of a Wendy question, really, if you think about it, because I think it has to boil down to if you are the type of person who is really worried about what to do and how to navigate this, then it might be more of an anxiety stress
yeah
c- coping thing,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And you have to deal with that before you can make rational decisions.
Yeah.
And that can be hard. And we're getting further away from the really stressful part of all this. So it's becoming, I think, easier to make those decisions. But this is not the last, that's not the last time. We're going to see this happen again. Probably. I mean, we will see this happen again.
Do you think we're prepared for it better?
I mean, I want to say yes, because
from
I want to say
you would think at least that much we'd be prepared for it, just because we've
depends on how long. Like, if it's 100 years, everyone will forget again. But if it's like 10 years,
it's
from
not.
Now.
And I don't think it's going to be that long. I think it'll happen in our lifetimes again. And I want to say optimistically that we've learned a lot of lessons from this. But at the same time, I know that there's evidence that we haven't, and I know that there's plenty of evidence that. Just the people who are in the positions to make those decisions will often ignore the good advice that they're being given. So it's hard to say. And so I try, because it's such a hard thing to say, I try to lean towards my optimistic view that we've learned a lot of good lessons, and we're going to apply those lessons the next time it happens. At least on an individual level, we will.
Sure.
Sure. So.
Yeah. Well,
who knows?
Who knows? We don't know. We don't know until we get there. Everybody be nice. That's the point.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Bobby, I do highly recommend people check out that episode that you just put up. It's very good. I listened to
the
it yesterday.
The appeal to nature fallacy.
Yeah. It's really, really good. And, probably stay subscribed, because there's plenty of great science to be had.
You should do that.
Right.
Yeah.
You can get that podcast anywhere, really, right? Just go search for it.
Yep. You could go to allaroundscience.com, or you can just search for it where the podcasts are found, and you'll find it. You'll get it.
Yep.
Press subscribe. If it's free, it doesn't cost you anything.
Yep, that's right. And if you don't remember it, do like Bobby and make up a little song or a story in your head about what you memorized and where you saw it, and then you go find it.
Four queens looked on the podcast directory for a show that didn't get stardusted.
Yep.
And
that's the one. You nailed it. Bobby, have a fantastic week. That's the main thing. All right, be good. Yeah, be nice.
You all too.
Do it all twice. We'll see you next time. All right,
excellent.
That went great, Brian. Let me tell you what else is great.
What else is great? Tell me, Scott, what else is great?
Ending this effing show right now.
Oh my gosh.
Well, okay. Not for good, but you know, just for today. we're at the end. So I do want to mention that we have a Patreon that supports the show. If you've not heard me say that before, then you might be new. And if you're new and you're thinking, what's a great way to support this cool show you just heard today? We have a way, patreon.com/TMS, where you will get no ads or commercials every day on your own custom feed that you get right there on the Patreon. Everybody at every level gets that, by the way. Pre-show content every day, also for everyone. Couch parties, also for everyone. Mm-hmm. Play dates, art in the mail. That's a certain level, but you know,
so much stuff. For
there's so much stuff. It's embarrassing how much we've included for so little. So go take advantage of us today at patreon.com/TMS. Let's get out of here. Let's play some music to do that. What do you have?
Oh, I have a song, Scott. I have a song. And,
what?
This goes back to something that I had a conversation with somebody about in Vegas. A guy by the name of Hootie42. You remember him walking around with his Hootie42 name badge.
Sure.
His real name is David. He said, my 42nd birthday is May 12th, and since I'll get to make answer to the ultimate question jokes for the next 365 days, I'd like to request to cover one of my favorite all-time songs, Come Sail Away by Styx, even if it's Cartman, LOL. Ladies, also a close second. If you need a third option, go with Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol. If plans hold, I'll also be having lunch with Scott, quote unquote, today, which is actually in a couple days.
A Thursday, I think, is the plan.
Thursday. And if any of this didn't make sense, I'm still slightly drunk from TMS Live in Vegas as I'm writing this. He really was. He wrote this, on the 26th of April, which was right in the middle of drinking days.
That's great.
But we're doing this early because we have a lot of requests for the same day. So Come Sail Away. You're getting Come Sail Away, Hootie42, today. But before that, how about a birthday sound?
Oh, bite? Yeah. Why not?
Let's party.
Boom.
Very good. All right. Well, come on now. I love the Cartman version of the song. We've played it on the show before. So I'm pulling something that's new. And one of the One of the really good shows that were part of the MCU that weren't on Netflix or Disney Plus came out, I think, on, what was it on? Freeform, I believe. Mm. And it was called Cloak and Dagger. And it was based on the Cloak and Dagger comic book characters. Really cool series. I think it, the two seasons in 2017 and 2018. Mm. And part of that soundtrack was this song by Olivia Holt. Olivia Holt! The song by Styx. Here is Come Sail Away by Olivia Holt.
Awesome. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of TMS. Goodbye.
Sad. If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
All you need is Italian salad dressing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials, like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.